You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
117-91, the final score. Lakers over the Golden State Warriors, 24-11 on the season. Second best record in the NBA. Just two games left before the All-Star break. Much needed All-Star break for the Lakers. You heard LeBron. I think one of the key things that he just mentioned right there, played 48 minutes. You know, it's nice to see the Lakers. We've seen so many of these games so far this year where they play a solid half or they got a really good quarter, but they don't play 48 minutes through. Tonight, by halftime, the game was over, and Lakers kind of kept pouring it on. So it's not like anything changed as we got into the third quarter, we got into the fourth quarter. It was actually so good. When's the last time that I've sat here in a post-game show and was able to say that LeBron James played 24 minutes tonight? That never happens. That never happens. And, you know, listening to Michael and John on the broadcast, Michael always mentions this. Hey, you want to rest some guys? You want LeBron to rest a little bit? Why don't you blow out a couple teams every once in a while? And if you could do that, then you could be in a position like this where LeBron only plays 24 minutes. I mean, we're so accustomed to seeing LeBron play 35, 38, 42, 44 minutes. You know, obviously some of those games that end up in overtime. But just a good vibe overall for the Lakers, and you love to see LeBron getting some rest. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the Pizza at Lakers postgame show. How about this as well? Getting a chance to see Damian Jones for the first time for the Lakers, who is obviously playing on that 10-day contract. You know, it's interesting. I was telling Michael coming into, not this game, the game against Portland. So that would be the first game he was eligible to play. And Michael saw him for a couple years at Golden State. He was trying to describe him. And, you know, what he was mentioning was Damian Jones just jumps out of the gym, is a good rim protector, but his offensive skills, he's all athlete. That basketball, you know, just kind of having a knack for the game, that's not part of his skill set. His skill set is athlete first. We got a quick look at Damian Jones. What did he play? How many minutes did he end up playing? I'm curious on. Ended up playing 8 minutes for the Lakers. 8 points. Had a couple block shots. 3 of 3 from the field. That's not bad. I mean, really, for not having too many expectations for Damian Jones coming into this game. But I think you could tell, you know, having a player like that, and I have no idea what's going to happen after the 10-day contract. Maybe he signs another 10-day contract, which can certainly happen. But I think the Lakers obviously just trying to buy some time until Anthony Davis comes back, number one. And number two, they still have, you know, the two roster spots that they have available. I'm sure they're going to be very strategic with how they use those. Let me take a couple quick phone calls here. Let's go to James listening on the app in New Jersey. What's going on, James?
Hey, what's going on, Wesley? Wesley Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean, he's giving you absolutely nothing, and he's stopping the progress.
We have so many good positive things
really
to talk
is.
About. James. We got not today, not tonight.
I've been a Lakers fan a lot longer than you've been, my man. So if I can, listen, I should be allowed to say something when they win as well, okay?
What's the deal with Wes?
No business on. He has no business on the floor. He's stopping this kid's progress. We need to get this kid ready for when the playoffs comes up because he can play. Mm-hmm. And Matthews can't even stay with somebody defensively. Everybody gets past him. At least this kid can recover with his height and his length by blocking the shot from behind. Matthew gives you absolutely nothing. He's hurting the team by hurting the progress of this kid.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you for calling in, James. Thank you for calling in. Listen, I get that you can, you know, we could definitely target a specific player. We can do that. But here's the reality. Lakers just blew out the Warriors. They were up 30-plus points in this game. I don't want to talk about Wesley Matthews tonight. You know, there was such a great balance between all the players tonight. And I know what you're saying. What you're trying to tell me is let's not give Wes Matthews that playing time. Give more of that playing time to Talen Horne-Tucker. Well, Tucker's gone through stretches as well where it's not like he's been playing perfect basketball. So I think it's I think tonight's one of those nights where we could focus on what Markieff Morris did. Markieff, by the way, 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists. We can focus on Dennis Schroeder. That's 2 games back. He's been fantastic on both sides of the ball. Caruso, another 13 points tonight. Kuz with 12 points and 11 rebounds. Gasol, 9 points in the first quarter. I mean, there's a number of players that we can hit on coming off of tonight's game, and I certainly don't want to find any negativity tonight because I do genuinely think these last 2 games were 2 solid victories for the Lakers with just 2 games left to go before the All-Star break. Let me squeeze in one more quick call. Deshaun in Moreno Valley. What's going on, Deshaun?
Hey, what's going on, Allen? First thing, I would love for you to call into the Sedano, LZ, and Cap show. Calm those guys down because they're ready to jump off a cliff over a few losses.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
This is the point. This is the point I want to make. Mm-hmm. I believe that the trade deadline's around the corner, and we cut Quinn Cook and we added Damian Jones, and that lit a fire under everyone because they know now they have to step up and before they get cut. But it's obvious Schroeder coming back was the number one reason why everyone
that was huge.
Was back in
the Deshaun, that was huge, and I appreciate you calling in. I do want to take a quick listen to Markieff Morris here in just a second, but I'll say this in regards to the Lakers will be fine because we're in February, and Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder weren't playing. So, you know, I know we could try to kind of look at things from a, you know, from a right, what's right in front of us. But big picture, I just think the Lakers are going to be fine. As far as lighting a fire under everybody, this team's coming off a championship. I think they're fine on that front. They just know that they still got 80 more days to go or whatever the case is before the playoffs start. Here's Markieff Morris, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet, following the game.
All right, Markieff Morris, this one was over early. What did you guys do in that first quarter to set the tone and create that big margin in the scoring column there?
We just played hard. We remember getting up big last time we played them and those guys coming back late in the game. So we wanted to make our mark early and just keep our foot on the neck throughout the game.
Hey, it's a third straight start for you with AD still out, Markieff. What is the area of focus for you when you're in this specific starting lineup next to LeBron, next to Mark in that front court?
Just to get going early, man. You know, I played with LeBron a lot last year and in the playoffs. I know, you know, early on he's trying to fill the game out, so I just try to, you know, get the work done early, take out some of the score load, or at least try to take out some of the score load earlier in the game.
Hey, you mentioned the defense. That's really been the key these last 2 games. And, Markieff, during that playoff run, right, that's where you guys got the job done. How have you been able to sustain the defense even without AD, who, of course, is so impactful on that end?
Just emphasizing it more. We got a lot of veteran guys that can actually do it, man. You know, this is our first time playing with, you know, playing together. You know, we almost halfway through the season. We are halfway through the season, and we just keep trying to, you know, get better every day. You know, we emphasize on the little things, and we're just preparing for, you know, later on in the season.
You know, one thing that happens when you get a lead that big, you get a chance for all the young guys to get out there, Markieff. Just wondered if anything stood out to you as those guys got that burn in the fourth quarter.
It's more so like, you know, we kind of play pickup every day, so it's kind of like that. You know, a lot of these guys, a lot of us play a lot, so, you know, a lot of us are in shape. It's just normal, you know, a normal practice day when those guys are in the game.
All right, Markieff, appreciate the time, man.
No doubt.
All right, that is Markieff Morris right there with Mike Trudell. Sedano, LZ, and Cap are giving away cash to register. Text the word MISSION to 40705, then listen weekdays at 4:30 for your name to be announced. If you call back within 20 minutes, you win. Lakers over the Golden State Warriors, 117-91, the final score. Coming up next, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. We'll get a chance to hear from him. Stay right here. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's Brad Wanamaker into the front court. Wanamaker blocked by Damian Jones, who flew in from the weak side. So he's making the most of his opportunity.
Think he's impressing the coaches over there?
Hope so. I just like his size.
Yeah. I hope they give him a second 10-day contract after this one.
The defensive play of the game is brought to you by Adriana's Insurance. Win and save on your auto insurance, and only Adriana's Insurance can guarantee it. We give you more options, unique offers, and exclusive opportunities to get the coverage you need at the best price. Visit SaveWithAdrianas.com today. Adriana's Insurance, more options, no contracts, just savings. Kind of cool to see Damian Jones get some playing time tonight. Kind of cool to see him get two block shots. And the Lakers' defense, two straight games, they hold Portland under 100. They hold the Warriors to 91 points. That's great momentum for the Lakers. Big picture here with just two games left before the All-Star break. By the way, this game coming up on Tuesday against Phoenix, it's going to be a tough one. I got a feeling, you know, for the Phoenix Suns, they're within striking distance of the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference. So just kind of paying attention to that, it could certainly impact the Western Conference standings. Lakers get these next two, that'd be obviously a fantastic end to the first half of the season. All right, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers' 117-91 win over the Golden State Warriors.
Hey, Frank, what are the indicators for you that the defense is doing what you're looking for and kind of executing at a high level?
I think the communication and deflections are the first thing. You know, how active we are, weak side. You know, we had last two games we're playing against, you know, players in Dame and Steph that require double teams constantly all night. So you really have to be active, and you know, I think the communication and deflections are the two biggest factors for me.
And then just generally without AD, LeBron was talking about, of course, it's going to take a little time to find the rhythm and for guys to know how much to step up and where. What have you seen on that front over these last two?
Yeah, we've sort of tweaked and adjusted each game that's gone by, whether we're winning or losing. And, you know, just look for subtle ways to adjust what we're doing and find a little bit of a new identity. You know, obviously you lose somebody like Anthony, you change somewhat. You know, so we're continuing to work through that, and we'll continue to adjust. And, you know, it's been great to have Dennis back in the lineup the last two games, give us a huge lift.
Dan?
I think Dennis was something like plus 38, if I'm looking at that. Hold on, let me pull
32.
Okay. Plus 32, just some absurd number. Most of it in the first quarter. Was it just his pace, you think, or sort of his overall sort of thrust on both sides of the court? I don't know if that's a good word or not, but what was it?
Well, our starters played terrific. You know, I think that's a part of it. Every time you look at a plus minus, it's, you know, it's the player, but it's also the group that he's out there with. And, you know, I think our starters had a mindset to you know, make sure we took care of business against the team that stole one last time they were here, and really came out motivated in that first quarter.
Dave?
Rick, how do you feel about the job you do, punching the clock, when you win the game and you only have to play LeBron James 24 minutes?
I sleep better at night, that's for sure. You know, we want to make sure that we're managing him the best we can. He wants to be in there, and, you know, you respect that about him. So, you know, you just got to make sure that, you know, as the games go by, you try to stay away from overtime. You know, that's been the biggest problem with the minutes for us is all the overtime games that we've had. But, you know, you welcome nights like this where you can keep those minutes low.
Kyle?
Frank, especially at the end of that first quarter, it seemed like LeBron especially was so disruptive to what the Warriors wanted to do. When you look at these past two games together and what you guys have accomplished defensively, how much has familiarity and just knowledge of the opponent played a role?
Yeah, I mean, we played a whole series of this defensive coverage last year against Portland. And then some of the movement stuff with Steph, our coverages are similar to the way we guarded Duncan Robinson in the finals. You know, so there is a familiarity piece with, you know, those two playoff opponents that we had and these last two opponents we had in the regular season. So, you know, when the group is connected and we're working with the new guys, you know, to learn these schemes, you know, it just helps us be a step sooner to things. You know, I think you saw that tonight.
Last three, Rashawn.
Yeah. So when before it cut off, I was just saying, you know, after, you know, losing the four, of course, What's changed? It seems everybody's a little more fired up. You know, shots are starting to fall. Just wondering if anything clicked after those losses? Or
yeah, well, I mean, we're just staying the course. You know, I mean, we're believing in one another. We're going to have rough patches throughout the season. I remember going back to start the season saying there's going to be some ugly nights with the quick turnaround. And, you know, we hit that stretch just then when Anthony and then Dennis goes down, get into a little bit of an adjustment period. But, we, you know, we keep grinding, stick to our principles, make subtle tweaks. And, you know, obviously getting back, Dennis back has really helped us. And, you know, it's been great to see, well, tonight was great to see Ron, you know, be able to take the fourth quarter off, get some rest.
Last question, Dan has a follow-up.
Frank, before the game, we saw AD doing some light kind of on-court shooting and stuff like that. What is that? Is that new in his progression? And is there anything else that he's been doing?
Yeah, it's just light shooting. You know, we're still on track to, you know, for the 4-week plan.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel on the 117-91 win over the Golden State Warriors. Kind of keen on this specific game to see some of the contributions from a few of the players that I've talked about. But I really do think the Dennis Schroeder, getting him back in the lineup, I want to kind of simplify it here, it just changes everything for the Lakers. And when AD does come back, that's going to take the Lakers to another level. And it is still incredibly early in the season. What I'm referring to there is you still got to get through the grind of March, obviously the grind of April, and then May is when the playoffs are going to start. I like the position that the Lakers are in. I mean, I don't know how you could not like the spot that the Lakers are in under all the circumstances. So keeping in mind some of the injuries, Dennis Schroeder misses those four games, and this is going to be the case with every team that's out there. Utah's been incredibly healthy and has took complete advantage of their health, and they're playing great basketball. But you can look at that second half schedule and really start kind of determining when there's going to be some statement games for the Lakers. Two against Utah, I think it's April 17th, April 19th. You still got two more left against the Clippers, Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee. So there's going to be plenty of tests left, but just being where the Lakers are as the dust is kind of starting to settle of the first half of the season, it feels like it's a great position to be in, and you know, obviously still a lot of work left for the Lakers. All right, your phone calls when we come back, 877-710-ESPN+. Plus, we'll get a chance to hear from Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma, another double-double tonight, by the way, 12 points and 11 rebounds. This is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint. Right now, local residents can take 40% off on factory direct high quality Vista Paint products. A Vista Paint team member will show you how. Locally owned, manufactured, and operated since 1956. Vista Paint. Lakers win 117-91. They also win points in the paint 54-46. That was actually one of Michael's keys, trying to take advantage of some of the size that the Lakers have, and certainly interior defense, not a strength of the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mentioned that Steph Curry had just 16 points in this game. How about Draymond Green? 6 points, 2 assists, 1 rebound. Draymond was coming off a game on Friday where he had 19 assists against Charlotte. So that's such a key piece right there, the Lakers finding ways to kind of take Draymond Green out of the game. And like I mentioned, for Steph Curry, Steph's averaging 30 a game. To only have 16, 5 of 13. I know he only played 26 minutes, and this game was pretty much out of reach by the time halftime came about. I still think just a solid defensive effort on Draymond Green as well. Let's take a quick phone call here. Moses in L.A. Moses, what's going on?
What's up, Alan? I would like to talk about Damian Jones, our new addition.
All right. You know, I will say this on Damon Jones, because I'm going to hit on this one real quick. I don't know what's going to happen because it's just a 10-day contract. But he had an opportunity tonight to do something, and I think he, you know, kind of turned some heads for a quick second. Whether that means he's going to get another 10-day contract or not, I have no idea. Whether he will be a part of the rotation down the road, I have no idea. But at least tonight, I know I went out of my way to point out what Damian Jones did. I know I went out of my way to make sure that he was getting proper credit for his two blocks, his 8 points, 3 of 3 from the field. By the way, another player who had, I think, always just find ways, and you know, this is something every Laker fan has been waiting for. They just want to see it on a consistent basis. Kuz found ways to be effective tonight as well. Ended up with 12 points, ended up with 11 rebounds. Let's get Kuzma's thoughts on this 117-91 win over the Warriors.
Hey, Kuz, what do you think you guys figured out defensively and just in general rhythm-wise of playing without AD over the course of the last couple weeks that seemed to show up more in these games against Portland and Golden State?
Oh, man, we just got Dennis back. I think that's the biggest thing. We got, a ball hawk out there. Just another person that's, we're outside of, having AD and him out. Those are two probably best defenders. So getting him back has really helped us out with him pick and roll. Just having another person out there with great defensive instincts on that end just really helped us. It's something that we've missed at the guard position. So, it's helped.
Hey, for you individually, it seemed like you were able to match the production that you were having as a starter, even though coming off the bench. How much has your mindset evolved to regardless of kind of, starting, going back to the bench, back and forth as it's been for you the last couple of weeks?
Just because I just got to control what I can control. I can't control if I start, come off the bench, shoot the ball, whatever. I just control what I can control, and that's where I'm at right now.
Dave?
Kuz, what did you think of Damian Jones' debut for you guys today?
Man, I think he's got a shot to be here if he can just do what he did out there. Be a lob threat, got a big-time block. I don't know how many minutes he played, but, might have been 7-8 minutes, but had 3 rebounds in that time, and, that's a good rebounding rate. So if he can do those things in small stints, he's got a chance to be here.
Maria?
Hi, Kyle. Your team has struggled over the past few games, and now we're finding their rhythm once again. So what do you think makes this team special?
What makes this team special? We just got champions on this team. That's what makes it special. We got people that's been in the foxholes with each other. We've been together for the past 2 years a lot. And we know each other's games. We know how to play off each other. So,
I like the way Kyle Kuzma just explained right there, too, about Damian Jones, just keeping it simple. Yeah, if he can get some production like that, then he might get some opportunities on this Lakers team. And certainly for one night, he had his opportunities and made the best of it. So there was a game earlier today between the Clippers and the Bucks. Clippers lost that game, so they're 24-12 now. Phoenix won earlier today. They're 22-11. And then everybody's chasing the Utah Jazz in the NBA. They're 27-7. Listen, I don't know if the Lakers are going to eventually catch the Utah Jazz in the NBA standings. And I know we still got a long way to go. But as you let the season progress, I think a team like Utah, the number one seed in the Western Conference, is going to mean everything to them. And they're going to do everything they possibly can for that number one seed, where I think for the Lakers, that's not exactly the case. But to be sitting with the second-best record, the Eastern Conference is interesting because Philly's at 22-12, Brooklyn's at 22-13, Milwaukee's at 21-13. Those are really the three teams that is the dogfight where if you're looking at, all right, who would have home court in the NBA Finals, all these teams are bunched together, and Lakers, you could say, are in that mix. Utah's in their own – they're in their own world, their own category. But you just still have to feel good about being this far into the season and still kind of seeing the Lakers hanging around with the elite of the elite in the NBA, even with some of these injuries and everything else. And I've been the one, barking away saying that it's still February. It's not that important right now. Lakers are going to be fine. What I'm really referring to is I'm not saying that I want the Lakers to not pay attention to the regular season. Of course you do. Of course you want the Lakers to win as many games as possible. They had a number one seed last year, and I know we ended up in Orlando, but that was important because people were mentioning before COVID that we thought, okay, home court in Milwaukee or home court versus Denver or some of those other teams, you wanted to have home court. This season, I think we'll play a little bit different of an effect. Other teams, it will mean everything to them. I think the Lakers can go win a road game, no questions asked, against any team in the NBA. But with all that said, like I said, you only got the Utah Jazz in front of you. That's it. There's no other teams that are in front of you. And you still get a chance to play, you know, a lot of these teams again in the second half of the schedule. The game against Phoenix, I will say, coming up on Tuesday, Devin Booker, what's he averaging? About 25 points a game. You know, we all know that Chris Paul is the leader on that team. Chris Paul is basically the leader on any team that he goes to.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But they're playing some good basketball. You know, to be 21-11 at this point, and they've won 8 of their last 10 games, they've kind of climbed their way into this mix of top four where everybody just assumed, oh, it's going to be Denver. No. It's going to be, you know, Portland. You're kind of throwing Dallas is going to be in the top four mix. That's not the case. Phoenix is sitting in the top four, and I got a feeling that game coming up on Tuesday, that's going to be a dogfight. That's not going to be one of those games where – you know, Lakers are just going to show up to work and Phoenix is going to let them do whatever they do. No. That's not going to be the case. Lakers will be in a dogfight against Phoenix. And if you can finish off that game on Tuesday with a W, it also gives you a little bit of cushion from the Phoenix Suns because they're just a game and a half behind the Lakers in the NBA standings right now. Lakers over the Warriors, 117-91, the final score. When we come back, we'll hear from LBJ, the King. Stay right here. This is the Pete Tutt Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. 117-91, the final score. Lakers over the Golden State Warriors. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow starting at 5 a.m., Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis. Make sure to tune into that. Lakers talk tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. LeBron James on the night ended up with 19.6 rebounds, 4 assists, throwing 2 steals, 2 block shots. And I think every Laker fan's favorite stat of the night is LeBron only playing 24 minutes. So the Lakers obviously take advantage with the blowout, giving LeBron James get a little bit of rest. Here's LBJ's thoughts on the 117-91 win over the Golden State Warriors.
Hey, LeBron, what was the key defensively, not just tonight, but going back to that Portland game? Has there been something that's worked collectively there on that end?
You know, one thing about it, we do a good job of taking our film sessions and applying it to the game situation. I think tonight in the Portland game was two of those instances where we knew that we didn't play the way we're capable of defensively. And, you know, we watched a lot of film. We broke down some things, able to get on the floor as well at our private facility and walk through some things, go over some things. And I think it's helped us the last two games.
I guess that you could almost think of the same question with AD being out. Have you guys just found finally, I shouldn't say finally, right? It was about 5 games. Have you found some sense of rhythm there and guys knowing where they need to be and where they need to step up around you?
I think, yeah. I mean, when you lose a mega piece like AD, it's going to take some time, both offensively and defensively, how we want to play and, you know, and what's going to be our rhythm and how we get into our rhythm. And I think, you know, over the last few games, we've done a good job of trying to, you know, this is where we're going to have the ball. This is how we're going to be effective. This is what we need to run and how we're going to, you know, benefit from one another. And I also think that, you know, guys knowing when they're going to play, they know in the rotations, things of that nature. So guys are just staying ready. Obviously, you always got to stay ready. But, you know, guys are know their rotations and it's worked out a lot for us.
Dave?
Well, Brian, you told us that you were going to find a way to figure this thing out because you always tweak your game to what your team needs. And the eye test for me the last couple of games is you playing with more physicality and turning defensive plays into offensive opportunities. Has that been the game plan, or is that just what has presented itself these last couple of games?
It's my job to, like you said, to figure it out and on both sides of the floor. And I think defensively, I've just been a little bit more active. trying to be in the right position where that it benefit our team, benefit myself. But I've just been flying around, and it's helped out our team, and everyone's been flying around. They've helped me out as well too. So, I'm definitely not okay with losing, and so it's my job to figure it out what's going to be the best for our team, and we've done a good job of that the last couple games.
Dan,
LeBron, before the game, I asked Steve Kerr, kind of, he's an expert at trying to repeat, right? He's done it as a player, as a coach, tons of different times. He said that he thought this might be the hardest circumstance with no fans, with games stacked upon each other, of any team trying to repeat. Curious, when you look at this past month, what does that tell you about how tough this is going to be, and how do you think you guys kind of came through it?
It's been extremely tough. I mean, you have to literally like self-motivate yourself every single day. And it's very tough because you're playing every other day, if not back-to-backs, and it's not much downtime. So, you have to like motivate yourself. And, being here in California, like you said, us and SAC and Eclipse and GS, we don't have the luxury of having fans right now. I've been watching a lot of games of late, and, there's been 1,500, 2,000, whatever the case may be in the fans, and it just gives you an extra boost. So I'm just waiting, hopefully sooner than later. I would love for us to start having fans here in California, especially here at Staples. It's just adds so much for us. And also to see our fans too, but it's very challenging. And like I said, you gotta have that self-discipline and that self-motivation to know that you're going out there, and you just have to be able to use your teammates, use yourself, and to get the energy.
18 plus years, LeBron. What self-motivates you still?
Because at the end of the day, there's some kids out there that are still watching me. They're watching the way I play the game of basketball. They're reading the narrative of, will I be tired, or am I satisfied, and things of that nature. And I don't want to give them an excuse, no matter the circumstances. You still go out there and play as hard as you can. Give your life to the game, because the game will give it back to you. So I understand I have a responsibility that's beyond myself when I hit the floor.
Hey, last three, Kyle Boone.
Hello, LeBron. Obviously, you guys played Portland in the playoffs last year, and Golden State is a team that you know well, with players that you know very well. Defensively, how much has that familiarity that you guys have, and perhaps you personally have with those players, played into the performances you've had?
Our coaching staff has done a great job putting together a game plan, and we've just trying to execute that. I definitely got a lot of familiarity with, obviously, with GS, and some of the players that they have on the floor, because in the last 10 years, obviously. But also, with Portland and the series that we had with them not too long ago. But, for me, I kind of always try to keep myself, familiar with whoever we're playing by watching film and diving into things that they're going to do, and just to put my team in a position to be successful.
Is it kind of fun when your study pays off in those anticipation steals, blocks, things like that, where it's what you study, not what you see right in front of you on the
court? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it puts you in front of, it gives you an opportunity to be ahead of some plays as well. Some of it is read and react, and not, obviously, but, to be able to be in a position where you can, be there before the actual action takes place, because you broke down the film and you watched it, it helps out a lot.
Bill Orm.
Sounds like some crutches, didn't it?
Hey, LeBron, this is going to be a little off topic, but obviously, 17 straight All-Star games for you. I'm wondering what you remember about your rookie year when you played in the Rookie Challenge in L.A. and what that first All-Star weekend experience was like for you.
It was incredible. First of all, I'm a kid from Akron, Ohio, and I was in Los Angeles for my first All-Star game. And that was an incredible, moment for myself, for my family. To be here. Obviously, I wanted to be in the All-Star game. still kind of irks me a little bit, but I got over it. It's just being here and being around Melo and D-Wade and the rest of the guys, and just being a part of the festivity is something I watched my whole life. I was like, wow, how great it'd be to be a part of All-Star Weekend and for it to be my rookie year, for me to be, in a rookie, rookie challenge, it was something that I probably would never forget. And I got an opportunity to wear some dope shoes that night too. The Zoom Generation 1 Wheats. That's one of my favorite sneakers of all time. So I was just like, I was just hyped. So it's a long time ago. It's like the Mike and Drill. It's so long ago. So I'm happy though.
Last question, Rashawn.
Hey, LeBron, Coach Vogel talked, he went all the way back to, those overtime games and how maybe some fatigue set in for you guys during that 4-game skid. How much was a night like tonight needed where, big win and you only have to play 24 minutes?
You take it for what it is. And, we was able to take care of business. So it allowed, a lot of our big guys not to play many minutes. And yes, we played a lot of minutes because of so many overtime games we've had this year. But, you take advantage when you can, you prepare as if you got to play 48 and, you let the game dictate, the game. So tonight was not needed. It was half of 48 for myself and I'll take it. So, now it's time to start preparing for Tuesday.
All right, that's LBJ right there. Yes, 24 minutes for LeBron in the 117-91 win over the Golden State Warriors. And just as important, you got 2 games left before the All-Star break, so then the rest of the team can get a little bit of rest, specifically LBJ. Next broadcast this Tuesday, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns. Should be a really, really good game coming up on Tuesday. Phoenix just a game and a half behind the Lakers in the NBA standings. Pre-game coverage for this game will start at 5:30. Tip-off will be at 7 o'clock. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa, and this is the Pizza Hut Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.